Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Church Conroe. Welcome to our Sunday worship podcast. I hope you have had a good week this week and that you and yours are staying safe. We've got a lot going on in our church family. This Sunday, October the 4th, we will be beginning our live worship back. At 10:45, we will meet in our sanctuary. We will be behaving ourselves and using all of the COVID guidelines to stay safe. So I invite you to worship. But if you don't feel like you can, I'm glad that you have tuned in to our podcast for worship. So now let us spend a few reverent moments preparing for worship and listen to some beautiful music. Be in an attitude of preparation for worship.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on.
Our call to worship will be responsive, and your response will be, "We sing holy praises to your name." Let's be in worship together. We gladly join with fellow Christians everywhere to affirm both the freedom of our particular customs and the spiritual kinship that we feel within all who love the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing praises to your holy name. Grant us, O God, to seek your understanding and to approach the measure of your love. We sing praises to your holy name. Help us to acknowledge your lordship in all our ways, O God, and to put our trust in your steadfast love. We sing praises to your holy name. Within the world fellowship of Christ's people, teach us to respect all forms and practices and to put devotion to your sovereignty above all creeds and structures. We sing praises to your holy name. As we prepare to go to God in prayer, I know that there are concerns that you want to share. I would invite you to think of all of those people in your life who are in need of God's grace and blessing, and say them by name at this time. We want to especially remember in our prayers today President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump. We were saddened to get the news that they have tested positive for the coronavirus and understand they are experiencing some symptoms. So we keep all of the Trump family and indeed all of the nation's capital, all of their workers in our prayers this day, especially for the president and Melania Trump. There are other prayers that we need to lift up. I am sure all of the health workers, all of those who keep us safe. I want to lift our food ministry volunteers in prayer today. They are doing a really good thing here. Let's go to God in prayer. We praise you, nurturing God, for feeding us at Christ's table on this special day of World Communion. Patiently you plant the seeds of faith, waiting to harvest the fruits of our lives. Busily you grind the grains of your experience, mixing the dough. We thank you, nourishing God, for the strength we draw from the shared witness of our sisters and brothers who partake of this holy meal today. Make us bold to seek justice and quick to act in compassion. Shape us well that we might become the bread of life for those who need us. We rejoice in you, God, for your abiding presence. Spark our imaginations that we might share your dream of unity. Open our hearts so that Christ's healing love may flow from your gathered church into a parched and thirsty world. We pray to you, healing God, that your people find sustenance at Christ's table this day. Feed our spirits that we might work together as the body of Christ around the world, preaching good news to captives, restoring health to those in pain, proclaiming God's year of joy. Lord, we continue these and the prayers of our deepest heart in the name of Christ Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
When the music fades, and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring
something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing you. It's all about you, Jesus.
In some ways, the Ten Commandments have a bad reputation in our culture for being a laundry list of thou shalt nots. And to be fair, a lot of them do say that, but God's purpose in giving the law to us was not to restrict us from doing the things we want to do, but to free us for following and serving God faithfully. The same is true with the command to give back to God. God doesn't place that on us as a requirement. Instead, God offers it as an invitation to join in God's work in this world. we have been blessed in abundance by God. So the only faithful response is to give back to God for the accomplishing of God's work in this world. Giving, I know, sometimes might feel like an obligation or a duty, something done, maybe begrudgingly or with a little bit of trepidation. But God doesn't say give or else. We're free to do what we want with our money, but when we consider all that God has done for us, how can we do anything but respond by sharing in God's work? Now, I would encourage you to bring your gifts and your tithes and your offerings. Loving God, you created us and called us to be your people. Even when we don't answer that call, you stay faithful to us. We pray that the gifts we offer today serve as one of the ways we honor our baptism and the call you have given us to be your light in the world. Use them and use them to make your will known. Amen. The first Sunday in October is always World Communion Sunday, a day to reflect upon the ways that Christ's sacrificial love binds us together as believers across cultures, time zone, worship styles. Regardless of the table we use or the elements we partake, we are all a part of the one body of Christ in this world. We need to remember this today more than ever. It seems as if there are great divisions in our world, and we need to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. The message that Christ came for each of us and for all of us can take on a new urgency. Christ continues to offer a message of grace and reconciliation. And so we come to the table again to be reminded that we are so much more than individual believers seeking to work out our faith with sometimes fear and trembling. Instead, we are each a small part of a much larger spiritual group called to each do our part to embody Christ's love in this world. This bread and this cup binds us together as brothers and sisters in Christ, a movement for wholeness in this fragmented world. Let us now share in communion together. Lord, bless this holy meal to our spiritual well-being and nourishment, and bless us to your continued service for Christ's sake. Amen.
Myself and the bread of life. You and
Our scripture reading today comes from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. I will be reading from 1 Corinthians 11, the 17th through the 26th verses. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you assemble as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you meet together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, for in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. World Communion Sunday. This table literally wraps around the world. But like other matters of importance in our lives, this table both unites and divides us as Christians. I am sad to say that there are some Christian groups who are closed in their communion. They do not invite other Christian believers to their communion table. You must be baptized in their own particular brand of the faith. In fact, I've known some churches who they did not want to offend anyone who might be in worship, so they would have their communion service at an odd time or at a odd place in the sanctuary so as not to offend people who were not invited to partake. I am so glad that within the Christian Church Disciples, we celebrate communion each and every Lord's Day. And everyone who affirms its significance is invited. Today, question, if Jesus were to show up and preside at this table, would he exclude everyone who did not believe in him? Hint, to whom did he first announce his identity? Well, if we're honest about it, he announced his identity first to the ultimate outsider. He announced it to a woman. And if that weren't bad enough, he announced it to a woman of ill repute. And if that weren't bad enough, he announced it to a woman of ill repute who was a Samaritan. And the Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. My feeling is this. If someone decides to accept the invitation to this table, it is not up to me to refuse him or her. What do you think? In today's passage, Paul gets all over the Corinthians for the way they have turned this holy meal into a drunken, selfish spectacle. His words of instruction following his harsh rebuke of their behavior have come down the centuries to us, and they form the official remembrance of this meal. What do they say about Jesus? First of all, they say that Jesus honored his ancestors in the Passover meal. He had inherited this meal from his spiritual forebears, and he was passing it on to his followers. Also, even betrayal would not stop Jesus from showing love to the betrayer. He loved Judas. Jesus knew of the sacrifice he was making. It was not a sacrifice made out of mere duty to a cause. It was a sacrifice made out of a supreme love for humanity. Jesus knew this meal would always remind his followers of his great love for them. Jesus knew that the love of God dwelt in him in a unique way, and that sacrificial love is eternal in nature, and that God's kingdom itself is built on that love. That is the message that he was sharing with his followers. Can you remember the scene in that upper room when he wrapped a towel around himself, he girded himself, he got on his knees, and he washed their smelly feet? So today we remember that a simple meal of a loaf of bread and the fruit of the vine is somehow spiritually converted into the body of Christ. And the really good news is that Paul, in the very next chapter, told those sometimes recalcitrant members of the Corinthian church, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." That is the message that we share with the world. We are the body of Christ, said not in a brash, brazen, bragging manner, but in the simple manner of the way Jesus fed his followers, both physically and spiritually, in such a way that love became eternal in nature. Amen. Now may the peace of God abide in your hearts, now and forever. Shalom, my friends.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Bless, Spirit, bless. Sets our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send.